This is Audible.
Recorded Books and RB Digital present Judgment Road by Christine Feehan. Narrated by Jim Frangione. Chapter 1. The wind blew off the sea as the three Harleys made their way through the last series of snaking turns and hit the straight stretch on Highway 1, running parallel to the ocean. The night was well underway, a fact that Sava Reaper Pajari was well aware of. He had to report to the president of his club, Czar, the moment they arrived back in Casper, but time didn't matter for that. Even if Czar was at his home in Sea Haven, tucked in close to his wife, Reaper'd just hit the roof and climb in through the bedroom window. He'd done it more than once. He lived for two things, riding free and fighting. He needed to feel solid muscle under his knuckles. He needed to feel fists hitting his body, tapping into that well of ice that covered every emotion. That swift explosion of violence and sweet pain as fists connected was his life, and had been his life since he was five. Now, he needed to stay sharp somehow, in this new bullshit direction the club had taken. He rode along the highway, aware of the others on either side of him. Brothers, some for over 30 years, men he counted on, men he called family. Still, he was apart from them, and he knew it, even if they didn't. He turned his head toward the ocean. Waves sprayed up into the air, rushing over rocks and battering at the cliffs. Sometimes he felt those battered rocks were him, time wearing him away, little by little. His soul had been gone so long ago that he couldn't remember having one. Now, his heart was slowly disappearing. There wasn't a place on his body without a scar. He had another to add from this last trip. He also would have to have ink tat his back. 3 more skulls to add to the collection of those resting in the roots of the tree on his back. Viktor Prokhensky, the man known as Czar, was the best man he knew. Reaper's job was to stand in front of Czar, his self-appointed task from the time he was a little boy. He'd been doing it for so long now, he didn't know any other way of life. He stood in front of all his brothers and sisters, in Torpedo Ink, his club. He was proud to wear the club colors. He'd die for those colors and still detested any mission he ran if he had to take them off. They turned off the main highway onto Casper Road, leading to the town of Casper, where they'd set up home. They designed their compound around the old paymaster's building for the Casper Logging Company. They had spent the first few months working on the building, turning it into their clubhouse. It housed multiple bedrooms, a bar, their meeting room, known as the chapel, and a kitchen. They shared bathrooms, whichever was closest to their assigned sleeping room. Czar had insisted each of them purchase a home nearby. He wanted those roots put down deep. Reaper didn't give a damn where they all slept. As long as he could defend his club and their president, he was fine. The compound had a bed, and right now he needed one. He was 48 hours without sleep. He'd stitched up the wound in his side himself, making a piss-poor job of it, too. But all he'd had was a little whiskey to disinfect it, and that had burned like hell. It still did. They rode up to the compound, and Storm and Keys parked their bikes while he scanned the lot. Either Czar was home or at the bar. Reaper was fairly certain he'd be at the bar waiting for a report. He didn't like to disturb his wife, Blythe, or their 4 adopted children. Reaper didn't shut his bike down and waited for the others to turn to him. "Going to find Czar," he said, unnecessarily, but they were looking at him like he should say something. He didn't like stupid shit, like the formalities that seemed so important to others. He didn't care if people liked him. In fact, he preferred they stay the hell away, except for his brothers, who understood him and made it clear they expected him to at least talk once in a while. "I can report in," Keyes offered. "You could use the downtime." Reaper shook his head. "Won't be able to sleep right away. I have to check on him anyway. You know how I am." "Want company?" Storm asked. He shook his head. "Not necessary. Savage will be with him, probably a few others. Get some sleep. We all earned it. Savage Pajari was his birth brother. Like Reaper, he acted as sergeant-at-arms, protecting Tsar at all times. Between the two men, they had their president covered whether he liked it or not around the clock. I already texted Tsar we were coming in when we were an hour out. He was certain if he did that, Tsar would go to the bar rather than have Reaper come to his home. Exactly what Reaper wanted. It was the new bartender. Reaper didn't like anything out of the ordinary. He didn't trust it. The woman was definitely something out of the ordinary. Code would find dirt on anyone, but he hadn't found a single trace of her anywhere. She worked for cash, under the table. She wore designer jeans, but she drove a beat-up car on its last leg. Rust breaking through the paint. The fucking thing smoked every time she turned the engine over. Torpedo Inc. had a garage up and running. Did she take her car there to get it fixed? Hell no. She drove off every night thinking no one knew where she was going. That was the hell of it. She drove back toward Fort Bragg, took Highway 20 and turned off at the egg-taking station, a campground in the Jackson Demonstration Forest. Why the fuck would a classy woman be bartending in a biker bar, drive a beat-up Honda Civic older than she was, and be camping? It made no sense. He didn't like puzzles, and Anya Rafferty was not only a puzzle but one big headache. Reaper had watched her for over a month, 5 weeks and 3 days, to be precise. He'd learned she was a hard worker. She listened to people, remembered their names and what they liked to drink. She flirted just enough to get good tips, but not enough to cause fights. She was generous with the waitresses, sharing tips she didn't have to share. She was careful and guarded, yet gave the illusion she was open. She was kind to those less fortunate. He'd watched her give a homeless man a blanket she carried in her car, and twice she'd brought him coffee and a meal. Twice she'd spent money he was certain she didn't have to get food or shoes for someone living on the streets. She seemed to have an affinity for the homeless, and he was certain she knew all of them by name. She volunteered in the soup kitchen Saturday mornings, even though she couldn't have had more than a couple of hours of sleep. She didn't flinch around the bikers, but it was obvious she wasn't from their world and didn't have a clue how to fit in. She took her cues from Tsar and sometimes asked him questions. She'd never asked Reaper a single question, but she sent him a few shy smiles, which he didn't return. He'd spent more time in the bar in the 5 weeks she'd been there than he'd ever spent in a bar in his life. Reaper glanced away from the compound, up toward the bar. He could see the lights shining through the dark from the banks of windows. His heart accelerated. His cock jerked hard in his jeans. That was unacceptable, and that was why the woman had to go. Every one of those in his club had been taught to be in complete control of their bodies at all times. They'd been beaten, starved, tortured, and had unspeakable things done to them in order to shape them into disciplined killing machines. He felt very little emotion, and certainly not physical attractions. The bitches partying hard, getting it on with anyone and everyone, did nothing for him. Not one thing. He often walked through a room full of half-naked or naked women, and his body didn't so much as stir. One look at Anya Rafferty, listening to the sound of her voice, her fucking laugh, the way all that hair fell around her face like a dark cloud, a waterfall. She had more hair than two women put together, and he found he thought a lot about that hair when he should be thinking about keeping his president alive, or himself. He refused to allow his cock to drive him. That part of his anatomy would never drive him. He didn't trust anyone, especially not a woman who made his body ache until his teeth hurt. He sighed and turned his Harley, heading for the bar. He'd told Tsar Anya had to go. She was a problem. Nothing about her added up. Nothing. Protecting Tsar was his number one priority, and if she wasn't forthcoming, she had to go. He told himself that shit, but he knew it wasn't the truth. He hated bullshit, detested it, especially when he was trying to bullshit himself. He could make all the excuses in the world, but the truth was, the bartender upset him. She got under his skin without trying. Once in the parking area, Reaper swung his leg over his motorcycle and forced himself to stand upright, his 2 feet planted on solid ground. He'd been on his bike so long he wasn't certain he had the legs for earth any longer. Placing his dome on the bike, he did a casual sweep of the parking lot. In that one moment, he took in every detail of the cars and lines of motorcycles parked there. He recognized several of the bikes. 2 prospects were lounging close, keeping an eye on the bikes. He didn't acknowledge them, but he saw every detail. He removed the small leather bag from one of the compartments hidden in his bike and made his way across the parking area toward the bar, still looking around to every conceivable parking spot. What he didn't see was the bartender's old rust bucket. He paused for a moment at the bottom of the stairs, breathing deeply, not knowing if that made him happy or if his mind went somewhere he refused to acknowledge. She was gone. Czar had done what he'd asked, and her presence was removed. That should make him happy. Well, he was never happy. He didn't know how to be. He'd forgotten. Relief, maybe. Except now he had to go to the campground and make certain she was okay. Damn it. He swore under his breath and climbed the steps leading up to the bar. His gut burned like hell with every step, but it wasn't nearly as bad as the ache in his chest. Music poured out of the building, a loud, drubbing beat. That only added to the pounding in his head. He ignored it and yanked open the door. Raised voices and laughter mixed with the clink of glasses. Funny. Now that it was an established biker bar, the place was hopping almost every night. He stepped to the side of the door and took a long look around, noting every jacket or vest with colors. Mostly small-time clubs or weekenders. Couple of legitimate road warriors. 3 wannabe hard-asses, drinking, looking for women and most likely a fight. 5 sitting in the corner, badasses wearing demon patches. They noticed him the moment he walked in. All 5 were packing, and they weren't drinking, at least not enough to say they were there for a good time. He did a quick inventory of his body. He could move fast if needed. He never minded a good fight, and most likely, any minute, he'd be welcoming one. He let the demon see his gaze linger on each of them before he allowed himself to scan along the bar. He had a gun tucked in his waistband at the small of his back. Another was down in his boot, along with a knife. A 3rd gun was inside his jacket. Easy access. Just a cross-body pull, and he was in business. The truth was, he rarely used a gun or a knife when he killed. He preferred silence. But weapons came in handy occasionally, and he was proficient in the use of all of them. He knew he was looking for the bartender. Anya. He fucking loved that name. It suited her face. Her voice. It was possible her piece-of-junk car had broken down and she had hitched a ride with someone. He didn't see her anywhere, and it pissed him off that he'd even looked. Worse, the pressure in his chest grew. Tonight's bartender, Preacher, looked harassed. He glanced up from the sea of customers and shot Reaper a welcoming grin, his eyes scanning for wounds, dwelling for a moment on the blood on Reaper's shirt and then jumping back to his face. Reaper gave him a nod, indicating he was fine, and Preacher nodded back. He jerked his chin toward the hall behind the bar. There was a doorway to the left of the bar, but Reaper stalked across the room and flipped up the jointed wooden slab that allowed him to walk through the opening to get behind the bar. He moved down the long hallway straight to the office. The door to the back office was closed, signifying a meeting of some kind. If the door was closed, any waitress or non-club member stayed out. Unzipping his jacket, Reaper went right on in, hoping Savage didn't put a bullet in him as he waltzed through the door. Savage was unpredictable at times. His brother gave a quick scan of his body, much the way Preacher had. Czar stood up to face him, doing the same. He frowned when he saw the blood. Shit, he'd forgotten his shirt was a mess. It wasn't all his, either. Savage's gaze jumped back to his face. "I'm fine," he said, to stop the questions. Code had been poring over books with Czar, which was laughable. Czar hated number crunching and only pretended to listen to Code half the time. With Czar and Code at the table were two other club members, Absinthe and Ice, Storm's twin brother. All had their eyes on him and the blood on his shirt. Something was up to have so many gathered this late at night. "What happened?" Czar snapped before anyone else could say anything. Reaper tossed the leather carrier bag onto the table. "Assholes called us in a little late. Who the fuck goes off to hide, leaving their wife and kid to face certain death because they don't want to pay a gambling debt? He's supposed to be the big-ass president of a club, and he's hiding in a dark hole surrounded by his brothers, leaving his woman and child exposed?" He poured a wealth of disgust into his voice, because really, who did that? Who could live with themselves? How could his brothers look up to him? I wanted to cut his throat. He glared at Czar. "Don't send me on a mission like that one again. Next time, I won't have such restraint." Czar studied his face. Reaper kept his expression blank. Czar shook his head. "First, tell me how you got blood all over your shirt. Is that yours, or someone else's? Please tell me it isn't the client's." Reaper shrugged because, hell yeah, some of it was that douchebag client's. He'd gotten exactly what he deserved. The club was called Mayhem. Laughable. Truly laughable. In Reaper's opinion, the bullshit president had deserved to die, so yeah, he'd shown restraint. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. The weasel ran up a gambling debt, and then, rather than pay it, when the goons showed up to collect, had his boys get him to safety. He went across two states and only then remembered he had a wife and daughter. "And he contacted us to get them to safety," Czar reminded, his tone mild. "After he made sure his ass was in the clear. 2 days later, Czar. 2 fucking days. He didn't even warn her. By the time we got there, so had the idiots sent to collect. Bodies or money?" He touched his side. The burn of that blade going in was still fresh. They decided to have a little fun with the two of them before they cut them up. Girl is 14. "You stepped between the girl and the knife," Czar said. Reaper didn't answer. What was there to say? Was he really going to let a pathetic excuse of a human being kill a 14-year-old girl and her mother? Not happening. "How many stitches?" Code asked. "What the hell difference does it make?" "Someone's in a bad mood," Code observed. "5? More?" 6. "I don't need the doc. I took care of it myself." A small hoot of derisive laughter went up. Reaper flipped them off. "I gotta see this," I said. "If it's anything like the last one you stitched up yourself, you'll be looking like Frankenstein in no time." "Already does," Code said. "Just a little." Reaper glanced at Savage. He hadn't cracked a smile, and there was a slight hint of worry in his eyes. But he didn't say anything. "You taking antibiotics?" Czar asked. "I will. I'll get them from the doc." "Tell me what really happened, because otherwise I'm going to think you're slowing down. You could have killed these idiots in seconds, Reaper. What the hell were you doing to take a hit that cost you 6 stitches? "We're done talking about this," Reaper declared. "We're done when I say we're done." Reaper's voice dropped an octave, low enough that the room went silent, low enough to caution Reaper that his president wasn't asking. Reaper shook his head. When Czar talked like that, he expected answers. "Didn't want the kid to see me kill him. I directed the hit where I knew it wouldn't do much damage. She had Down syndrome, and she was terrified. Her father left them hanging out there like that. Pissed me off. I didn't want the kid to suffer any more than she already had." Czar sighed. "Reaper, she's the daughter of the president of a motorcycle club. The Mayhem Club may not be as big as the Diamondbacks, but they're violent. She's bound to have seen things." "She was terrified," Reaper repeated. "It was my call. I had her close her eyes, turn her head away, and then I killed the bastard. Before she could look, I covered her eyes and took her the hell out of there." "You don't get to take chances with your life," Czar hissed, slamming his palm on the table. Reaper leaned toward him, looking him in the eye. I've been taking chances with my life since I was 5 years old. I've been killing that long. I know how to take a blade when I need to. The point is, you didn't need to, Czar snapped. My call. I'm there. I have to make the decision. You'll be happy to know. I didn't kill her father when we delivered them safe to him, although it took restraint. He was willing to pay us the fee we asked for, but not pay his gambling debt? He put his wife and daughter in jeopardy, Czar. What kind of man does that? The club paid for the fee to have us retrieve them and bring them safely to him. The gambling debt is personal. You know, if they catch up with him, he'll give us up in a heartbeat. He was already planning to do that. I killed the two hitmen. Whoever sent them out will want revenge. All of you wore a mask and gloves, Czar said. He never saw your faces. No, but Mr. Mayhem President put a tracker in with the money, Reaper said. He was planning on selling us out to get out from under his debt. He'll give up the link online. That's all he's got. He smirked. Kill the club member following us and put the tracker in his fucking mouth. Code said you texted him to shut down our online operation, and he did. We'll set up again later. Just so you know, full disclosure and all, I beat the living hell out of that pissant president, Czar. Don't know if he lived or not, but if he did, he's not going to be the same man. He was going to give us up, and that tracker was the last straw. Already wanted to shove a knife down his throat. Czar shook his head and pushed the bag of money across the table to Code. Add that to everything else. We're in good shape. We've got most of the businesses up and running. Still working on some of the houses. Reaper, are you going to actually move into yours? Reaper shrugged. He had no idea what the hell he'd do with a house. Czar had insisted all of them have an actual home. He was on the edge of the cliffs with a stairway leading down to the cove and two roads winding around Casper, so he had access to old logging roads. He liked to know he could escape anything easily. Soon, he just required a bed. He had one at the compound. He didn't need a house to go to every night. Empty, echoing every time he walked through it because he'd put the minimum amount of furniture in it. A bed. That was pretty much it. Maybe, if he was lucky, the entire structure would fall into the ocean and he'd be done with it. He changed the subject. Got a few badasses sitting at a table. Waiting, Czar. They request a meeting with you? Czar nodded slowly. Waited until you got here. Code found out a few things about them. They're from up north. Demons. Smaller club. But already have a reputation. They want to talk about extending their reach, using us to do it. Probably drugs. Ice spoke. We don't do that shit anymore. We're rehabilitated. The others laughed. Yeah. We don't spread drugs around, but we kill people when it's needed, Absinthe said. A few hard-asses out there as well. Think they're real tough from the way they're acting. Reaper continued. Look like trouble, and they're drinking heavy. Talking loud. Didn't even notice when I walked through the door, but the others did, the demons. We aren't a well-known club, barely established. We aren't even the big club in this area. Why come to us? Czar shrugged. Don't know until they talk to us. Did they indicate they found us online through the website Code has? Czar shook his head. Don't think so. Think they chose us because we're here on the coast. He studied Reaper's face. I wouldn't meet like this with someone wanting us to do a hit. He made it an assurance. Reaper moved away from the door toward the back of the room where the overhead light didn't quite reach. He was tired, exhausted. Even if he went to bed, he knew he wouldn't sleep. Or if he did, he'd have a nightmare. He had them often now, something he was careful not to share with the others, not even Savage. You up for this? Czar asked. We could tell them to come back. Told you, Czar. Someone else should handle inquiries. Make certain they're legit. We all have a lot of enemies, but you most of all. Don't like you out in front like this. Reaper said. He put his back to the wall, making certain he had a clear shot to the door. Savage was on the other side of the room. They'd have the five demons boxed in. If you could, you'd build a wall around me, Czar pointed out. You've got Blythe and the kids, Reaper said. Aside from the fact that you're the brains for all of us, you've got them. Czar's face softened. I've got all of you. I don't worry because I have my brothers. Still looking at Reaper, he continued, Ice, go get them and bring them back. They come through the door one by one. You stay behind them. Box them in. Absinthe, you search them. Tell them they want to give up their weapons. Reaper was happy Czar wasn't taking any chances. Absinthe could influence with his voice. He was smooth and charming, and the moment he put the suggestion in the minds of the demons, they'd hand over their weapons without hesitation. If there was going to be a firefight, it wasn't going to happen on Torpedo Inc.'s chosen home turf. Stay to the left of the room at all times, Reaper said. All business. Savage and I will have them in a crossfire. None of you want to get caught in that. We'll mark the ones between us we'll take. The rest of you look comfortable and friendly. He was good at planning death. He'd done it hundreds of times. Czar was equally as skilled, probably his teacher, since Czar was older. He'd been the one to get them all out of that hellhole alive. Czar nodded his head and Ice was gone, leaving the door open. Reaper leaned against the wall, relaxed. This was his world, one he knew intimately, and a woman like Anya Rafferty, with her long dark hair and her bleeding heart, didn't belong anywhere near it. He sighed, realizing she'd crept right back into his thoughts. He should have followed her all the way into the campgrounds. They were a good distance from the entry, if he remembered correctly. His club had had a shootout there, a massacre. It was a place outlaws could hide, and that meant Anya wasn't as safe as he'd like her to be. He shut down that line of thinking. He wouldn't want any woman camping alone out there. He straightened suddenly. What if she wasn't camping alone? There could be a man out there. She could be supporting some shiftless loser who didn't want to work or take care of his woman. He should have gone all the way in. Damn it. Now his head wanted to explode and wasn't in the game where it should be, just as he knew would happen. The woman was wreaking havoc, and it was a damned good thing Czar had sent her on her way. Still, he had to check on her, just to be certain she was safe, just the way he would with any woman. His bullshit meter was screaming at him, but he ignored it as the first man stepped through the door. This would be their top enforcer, sergeant-at-arms, the badass of the five. He studied the man's face as Absinthe took his weapons. Yeah, he was the real deal. What was he doing in a small-time club? There had to be more to the demons than they had ferreted out. The enforcer passed over his weapons without a murmur, his eyes sweeping the room, taking in the setup, realizing he couldn't see either Reaper or Savage clearly. Both men had a way of blurring their image. It was useful when hunting others. They'd developed the skill over the years, starting when they were toddlers and Czar had them practicing. Most of it was learning to choose the right place to stand, the shadows covering them, the stillness one needed so the human eye wasn't drawn in that direction. The demons came in one by one, just as Czar directed. Ice tailed them, closing the door behind them. Reaper made certain to watch each of them as they came through, noting which one would be the likeliest to start trouble. That would be Tether, the youngest, the one eager to prove himself. The first one, the one they called Razor, was the one Reaper determined was the most lethal. He marked him as the one to take down first. I'm Hammer, one said, president of the demons. His patch confirmed that. Czar. Their president extended his hand and shook. He indicated the chairs surrounding the oval table. Only Razor hesitated. He realized sitting put them in a vulnerable position, especially without weapons. Absinthe had conducted a search of each man, even after they'd obeyed his soft, whispered command to hand over their guns and knives. He was thorough about his search, knowing Tsar was in the room. They all protected their president. Tsar didn't always like it, but it didn't matter. He was their number one priority at all times. In this instance, if things went to hell, it would be Code's job to take Tsar down and protect him with his own body, while Reaper, Savage, Ice, and Absinthe killed every one of the demons. Soft, feminine laughter drifted down the hall, and Reaper almost stiffened. Almost. He cursed under his breath, but managed somehow to stay disciplined enough not to move. That sounded a lot like the bartender. He had to keep his head in the game, not worry about some woman who had probably been sent to kill Tsar. Well, okay. He didn't believe that for a moment. He'd think about her later and the fact that those three hard-asses were looking for women. Right now, the only thing in his world was replaying step by step in his mind how he would kill the demons and protect his president. Razor had to go first. Reaper would draw and shoot him in the head. Two bullets to make certain, although he didn't miss. The president second, even though Code and Absinthe would go for him as well. Savage would take the two sitting to either side of their president, the ones assigned to protect him, just as Code was assigned to Tsar. The two were named Weed and Shaft. Their cuts had their road names as well as their offices. It was unusual for a president, enforcer, secretary, and road captain to all come to a meet at once. Something big was up. "How can I help you?" Tsar asked. There was a small silence while Hammer sized him up. Razor was clearly uncomfortable with the setup, but he kept his mouth shut. His gaze moved restlessly around the room, always looking for anything that might threaten his boss. "I'll get right to the point," Hammer said. "Heard good things about your club. You're small, but you get things done. We've got a situation. We're small, too. Three chapters. Good territory. We keep it as clean as possible. Don't have trouble with the locals. Here you're in pretty good here as well." Tsar shrugged but didn't respond, his eyes steady on the demon president's face. Reaper had seen him give that look a thousand times. He'd learned it in the school where hardened criminals ruled, and if you wanted to stay alive, you didn't make mistakes, like flinching at the wrong time. "We have a route that goes from our territory to here, stops dead and then picks up on this side of Santa Barbara." Tsar shook his head. "This is Diamondback territory. You want something to go through their territory, you contact them, pay the fee, and they'll take it through." Hammer hastily shook his head. "They swallow any pipeline, use it for their own purposes, and use a club like ours as pawns. They'd want a cut of what we're doing, and that cut would be more than we could afford right now. You get caught, they'll declare war and wipe you out. They have more chapters than just about any other club in the world. They're loyal to their brothers, and out of respect, we're careful not to do anything that would step on their toes, like creating a pipeline without giving them a cut." Hammer and his secretary, Shaft, exchanged looks. To Reaper, they seemed a little desperate. "What exactly is the product?" Tsar asked. "Counterfeit money." Just the fact that Hammer told them straight up was another indication that they were desperate. Tsar leaned toward him. "I don't like bullshit. I'm 2 seconds from putting a gun to your head and pulling the fucking trigger. What are you doing here? My old lady is waiting for me, and I don't like keeping her waiting. Not ever. So don't waste my time." Instead of looking worried or even scared at Tsar's words, Hammer looked as if he was relieved. He took a deep breath and told the truth. "This is going to make my club look weak, and we're not. We got in bed with a club that runs a gambling operation. We help launder the money. Recently, they found out about the counterfeit operation we've been running. We keep it slow. Nothing big. Feeding a few bills here and there along an eastern route we've got. They want to take it big time." "How'd they find out about your operation?" Tsar asked, always going for the most pertinent fact immediately. one of our prospects decided to try his hand at gambling and got in over his head. Instead of coming to the club, he traded his debt for information. Hammer's tone was strictly neutral. Where is he now? Czar's voice dropped an octave. Just that tone put the room on edge. Reaper had seen him do it so many times, but each time it happened, he was always impressed. He didn't survive, Hammer said. Anyone else talkative in your club? Czar asked. The men in this room are men I trust implicitly. The ones in my chapter, same thing. The other chapters wear our colors, and I'll fight for them and with them, but I don't know them as well as I do my own brothers. That was an honest answer. No one could know every man in every chapter of a club. They all in on the counterfeiting? He nodded. Distribution? We have the plates. They're good plates. I've got a good man who knows what he's doing. We play it safe and don't get greedy. We can make it work. Make it untraceable back to us. This other club wants to get greedy. How big are they? Czar asked. That's the thing. They're ghosts. They call themselves ghosts. Reaper stirred then, something he never did. That called attention to him, and the demon's enforcer nearly came out of his seat. Reaper ignored him. A word, Czar. That was never done either, especially by one of Czar's men. They always allowed Czar to make his play. They talked it over after. Czar didn't give anything away as he rose and jerked his chin toward the only other door in the room. Reaper let him come across the room and then stepped so his body was between his presidents and the demons. Czar closed the door and turned to him, his eyebrow raised, concern on his face. The bastard's going after the mayhem president's wife and child, the one we saved. It was the ghosts after them. They weren't wearing colors, but they referred to themselves as ghosts. As in, I'd never see it coming, because his friends are ghosts. Last words out of his fucking mouth. You think the demons are setting us up? Czar asked. Reaper loved his brother. Czar believed in him, in his ability to protect not only him, but his family, and the others. He believed in Reaper's instincts, his gut. Right now, his gut was telling him the demons were in trouble with this new ghost club. Reaper shook his head. Got a bad feeling in there. They don't want to be, but they're scared. Something more is going on than they're telling us. Czar clapped him on the shoulder. Never think for one minute that I don't need you, Reaper. It's always been you and me. We lived in hell. Now we're not. We're calling our own shots. Don't let the newness, the difference, fuck with your head. Reaper knew he'd been taking chances with his life. Czar knew it, too. Now, with his brother looking him in the eye, he nodded curtly, not wanting to talk about it. It was the damn woman, the bartender. That hair, that laughter, her fucking skin. It looked so soft he'd been tempted to actually touch her. He didn't touch anyone unless he planned to kill them. Then they were dead. No one touched him unless they planned to get dead. Then they were. Not unless they were one of his brothers. He'd had to learn to tolerate that. Let me go in first, Czar, he cautioned. Stay behind me. I'll get you to your seat and then slide back into position. Question him after I'm where I need to be. Czar didn't argue, as he often was prone to when it came to matters of his safety. He detested the others putting their lives on the line for him, but as far as Reaper was concerned, it was the one thing Czar had no say in. Reaper led him back in and over to the table without seeming to. He was casual about approaching the table, leaning in to snag some peanuts that were sitting in a can toward the middle. If they'd been at Czar's home, his old lady, Blythe, would have put those peanuts in a bowl. He sauntered back to the wall. Czar waited until he was nothing more than a blur, just as he'd asked him to. This club you call the Ghosts, are they an actual club? They ride? They have colors? The demon's president nodded. They came to us with respect. We have no idea of their numbers. They're up by the Oregon border. We don't have much intel on them. He rubbed his jaw. My fault. I should have looked into them more, but at the time my old lady was... He shook his head. No excuses. We did what we did. I need to be able to run my product through this territory. I need you to do it. You haven't said why. How did they get you to come to us? Did they specify us? Hammer shook his head again. No. Don't know if you're even on their radar. I think they're looking to get their hooks into the Diamondback Club. A club that big must have gamblers. You and I both know if they start a war with them, the Diamondbacks will swallow us. Even so, why not tell them to go fuck themselves? You don't know their size. They have no reputation. Why not just kill them? Czar's voice was mild. They have my wife. Hammer dropped the truth right into the middle of the room, and the tension went up 1,000%. Suddenly there was no air. Czar looked up to meet Reaper's eyes. Who the hell made war on women and children? Who had the balls to kidnap the wife of the president of the demons and hold her until the club did what they were told? How long have they had her? Czar asked, suddenly all business. He went from mildly interested to total concentration. Reaper loved the man. The way his brain kicked into high gear and he was aware of every detail, absorbing it, coming up with ideas and sorting through them for pros and cons until he knew exactly what to do. They took her 2 nights ago. Gave me a week to get it done. Came to you first. Her health... He shook his head. She had cancer. Just finished her last treatment. Immune system is down. She's only 26. Young. Damn it. I don't know where she is, but she's a good old lady. She'll keep her shit together, and she'll know I'm coming for her. I just need to buy some time to find her. These people don't play nice, Czar said. This isn't the first time they've used a man's family against him. In that case, they were there to kill the wife and daughter. I don't think you have a whole hell of a lot of time. You willing to help? Chapter 2 Czar glanced around the room. Ice was first, tapping out a soft rhythm on the table. Savage was next, tapping on the wall. Short 1-2 beat. The others followed until it was only Reaper. Czar was patient. Reaper weighed the consequences. No matter what, he'd go after the ghosts, find them, take back the woman and kill them. But if they did this, partnering with the demons, it exposed the club and Czar even more. Their reputation was growing in the outlaw world. They didn't need that. Reaper took his time weighing the pros and cons, just as he had in every other situation. Finally, with some reluctance, he tapped his agreement. A short 1-2-3 tap. Czar nodded. Don't give a damn about your pipeline, he said. But your wife is a different matter. No one fucks with our families. I need all the information you have on the ghosts. Our man will start tonight, finding out about them as well. If they're an official club, we'll know immediately, and then we'll have all the information we need for recon. As far as stalling them, so they think you're working on it, tell them, if they ask, that you've got an appointment to see the president to pitch the idea of a partnership with the counterfeit money. He'll believe it's the president of the Diamondbacks. I'll handle the Diamondbacks if there's a problem. They owe me a favor or two. Considering that Reaper had taken out two of their worst enemies to buy peace between the two clubs, Reaper felt that favor or two was a little more. The reputation of Torpedo Inc. had grown faster than they'd wanted it to grow, bringing a few visits from the Diamondbacks. Things had been tense, but as always, Czar had worked it out. They didn't do anything to compete with the Diamondbacks, which, unbeknownst to that club, was perfectly okay with Torpedo Inc. Soft laughter drifted into the room through the vents, under the door. The sound surrounded him. He looked around the room, but no one else seemed to notice. Czar asked dozens of questions. He shook hands with Hammer, and, at the door, Absinthe gave back every weapon, remembering exactly who had had what. "We'll get her back," Czar assured. Hammer nodded, his face bleak. "These guys play for keeps." Czar smiled. There was no humor in that smile. He looked like the predator he was, all the easy charm gone. "So do we," he said. The minute the demons were gone and out of the bar, Czar turned back to his brothers. "Code, get on this tonight. I know everyone's tired, but we're going to run out of time fast. Reaper, get some sleep, even if you have to drug yourself. You look like hell, and I'm going to need you on this. Possibly you and Savage." Reaper shook his head. "One of us stays on you. Every member of this club was trained as an assassin, Reaper. They know how to protect me. What happens if these ghosts get wind of you and your family? Blythe, the girls. They've already been through hell. Kenny? He has too. I'm not willing to take the risk. Your family is ours. Under our protection. We don't... Fine. Just get some sleep. Get out of here." Reaper was more than happy to get out of there. He had things to do, like go to the camp and see if Anya was still there. He told himself all that laughter was some other woman, and they just sounded alike. Still, as he went down the hall, his gaze was already looking for her. He stood in the middle of the hall behind the bar. His heart jumped. She was there. What the fuck? He had been out getting himself nearly killed for the club. He'd asked one thing. One thing. She turned her head to look over her shoulder, flashing him a smile. His heart tripped, went crazy. He ignored her, wouldn't let himself notice how much fucking hair she had, or that even swept back and tied in a long ponytail, it nearly reached the curve of her ass. He refused to see that her tits were perfection. Under that tight tee, the generous swells were outlined, lush, soft. That tucked-in waist only emphasized she'd been gifted with breasts and hips, a biker's dream. He wasn't about to notice the way her worn blue jeans cupped her ass so lovingly, or the way that ass swayed when she walked, or the fact that he had so many dirty fantasies about her ass and tits and hair. If any other man he knew had those same thoughts about her, he'd kill them. He turned and stalked back down the hallway to jerk open the door of the meeting room. "What the fuck?" He spat the words at Czar. "What the fuck is she still doing here?" Reaper demanded. "I told you to get rid of that bitch. She doesn't belong, and you know it. She's probably a cop looking to take us down. That or she's a rich bitch slumming, wanting to fuck a biker. Either way, she's trouble." He was desperate not to feel, not to have his cock as hard as a fucking rock, or his mind in chaos, or his heart stuttering like it might stop any minute. That didn't happen to him. Not ever. He'd lost all that when he was a teenager, and he'd had more women than he could ever want. He'd continued to lose that throughout his 20s, when he'd had to run errands for the man who'd kept him locked up and then sent him after targets. Men and women he'd had to kill in order that his brothers and sisters survive. So much sex. None of it good. He'd trained to have control of his body. He had no heart, no soul. He didn't need a woman to find her way under his skin. He was near panic, and Reaper in a panic wasn't good. People around him would die. Czar's gaze shot past him, and the president of Torpedo Inc. stood up slowly. It was a measure of the chaos the woman created that Reaper hadn't known she was right behind him. He always knew. Czar's life depended on him knowing. He swung around to face her. Her beauty took his breath away. Not just beauty. She was a fucking sex kitten, with all that dark, wavy hair. So much of it. A man would kill to feel all that hair sliding over his body, to see it on his pillow and brushing over his cock and thighs right before she wrapped her mouth around him. Her eyes were large and a deep emerald green. He'd fantasized far too much about those eyes staring up at him when she came apart in his arms. Right now, they blazed at him, twin gems sparkling with pure anger. He didn't speak. He rarely spoke to those outside the club, certainly not women. Her in particular. She was everything he wasn't. Classy. Sex-kitten classy, but still, she looked like she belonged in some penthouse, not in a biker bar. "I haven't done one single thing to you," she hissed. "Not one. I've worked hard, and I need this job." When he didn't reply, the fury in her eyes increased, and she stepped close, driven by pure desperation. That was in her eyes as well. "Answer me. You sit there staring at me night after night, like I'm some hideous insect you want to step on. And now you're trying to lose me my job." He didn't answer. Czar knew what the fuck he wanted. He'd said his piece, and he'd meant it. She shoved him, put both hands on his chest, and shoved hard. He didn't move, but his fingers closed over her wrists like vices, holding her palms against his chest. Every one of his brothers stood, knowing no one put their hands on him and lived. No one. He'd let her. He could have stopped her. He was that fast. His brothers knew that as well. Tears shimmered in her eyes, and something inside his chest broke. He thought letting her touch him would end it, the insane obsession he had with her. There was no other word for what he was feeling. Sitting in a bar for over a month, not saying a word, just looking at her. Just trying to keep his wayward cock under control. He'd failed miserably. Letting her put her hands on him was a terrible mistake. Now he had the sensation of her palms, the heat she generated. It felt like she seared her way right through his shirt to his skin, then through his skin to his bones. That deep, just melted right through. He could smell her scent. It was light, grapefruit and tangerine. Whatever it was, it enveloped him and seeped right through his pores. It was an aphrodisiac, and his body responded to it, making him so damn hard it went from an ache to sheer pain. She had to be a witch or a woman trained as he was trained to ensnare the opposite sex and then deliver the kill. He should have shoved her away. He shouldn't be holding her tight up against his body so she could feel the steel shaft in his jeans. He stared down into her eyes, those glittering green gems. The fury slowly receded until she looked afraid. She should have been. He had no idea what he was going to do with her. He knew no one would stop him if he dragged her into the next room and shoved his cock into her, claiming her. What the hell was wrong with him to even think that? They might stop him if he killed her. Might. His brothers knew no one touched him. They also knew he could have stopped her long before her hands ever reached his chest. He hadn't, and they were all right there, watching him, wondering what the hell he was doing. He was wondering that himself. "You don't put your hands on a man's bike, Anya," he said softly. "And you sure as hell never want to put them on a man like me without an invitation. You got that?" The tip of her tongue touched her upper lip, and then her teeth bit down on her lush lower one. She nodded. He had to bite back a groan of need. Looking down into her face, all soft skin, large eyes, the kind a man could stare into for the rest of his life, he knew he shouldn't have ever spoken to her. He should never have said her name, not in front of the others. They knew him too well, and everything he had done so far was completely out of character for him. He didn't want to let her go, but holding her close was putting his brain into a kill-or-be-killed frenzy. It wasn't safe. She wasn't safe with him. He let her go abruptly, noting as he did that he shouldn't have held her wrist so tightly. She'd have bruises. He didn't put bruises on women. He was so fucked. He had to stay away from Anya Rafferty. She swallowed hard and still looking into his eyes, directed her question to his president. "Do I still have a job, Tsar?" He could tell she was holding her breath. He was. He didn't know which way he wanted the answer to go. Tsar looked to Reaper. "It's up to you, brother. You want her gone, she's gone." Shit. Shit. Fuck. She just stood there looking at him, her eyes wet, lashes dripping. He took a breath. There was no saving her. None. "I couldn't give a shit," he lied. "Get back to work, Anya," Tsar ordered. He was looking at Reaper, not at the bartender. Relief flooded her eyes, her face, her body. For a moment she hung her head, just breathing deeply, and then she straightened her shoulders, lifted her chin, and gave Reaper a snippy look. "Thank Tsar, and I came back here to remind you we're still short on that order. Nothing came in today. I checked everywhere. Either someone took it, or they lied and didn't send it." "Who signed for it?" "I think it was Preacher. He was on yesterday as well as tonight. When he checked the order, we were short. I rechecked like he asked me to, and he was right." "We'll take care of it," Tsar said, and glanced over his shoulder at Ice. Ice nodded his understanding. No one stiffed them. No one. If the company wouldn't make good, they were going to be very sorry. Anya turned and walked back down the hall toward the bar. Reaper watched her go the entire way. His gaze was glued to her ass. She had a sway that made his mouth water. Tsar nudged him. "Go home." "You didn't fire her." He didn't stop looking at her. That long, thick ponytail called to him. He'd wrap all that silk around his fist and use it to guide her head wherever he wanted it to go. He was so damned hard he couldn't take a step. "More reason to keep her around than let her go." "Never asked you for a fucking thing, Tsar. Not one. Never. You didn't give me this. Why?" Because he needed to know. "You had your chance to get rid of her. You didn't take it. You know fucking well I wanted her gone. Why is she still here? You sat in that bar every night for over a month, Reaper. You followed her home every night. You want her gone. You tell me why she bothers you so much." "That's not the point." She was at the bar now, leaning toward a customer, laughing that laugh, giving that to one of the wannabe hard-asses. He was looking down the front of her shirt, leering. The lean had her bending over slightly, just enough to make Reaper's head want to explode. "She isn't what she wants us to believe. That could be a threat to you." Even as he said it, he knew it was bullshit. He knew it wasn't the truth. "I think she's more of a threat to you," Tsar said. Reaper tore his gaze from Anya and looked to the man he'd respected since he was not quite 5 years old. Tsar wore a smirk. Reaper shook his head. "Has it ever occurred to you that I'm a threat to her? You know me. You know what I do. Hell, you were the one who sent me out for that first kill. I kill people. People who hurt others, Reaper. There's a difference. You don't kill indiscriminately. We're not assassins anymore. That was what we were trained for. It was our job. We did what we had to do to survive. We all survived because of you. 18 children out of nearly 300. Those 18 live because of what you did for us. You aren't what you think. I am. You're the one who doesn't see it because you feel you owe me. Is that what you think? I feel I owe you. I would have let her go if that was the only reason. Figure it out, Reaper. Now get some sleep, and have Lana or Elena look at that mess on your ribs before you go to bed. Then tomorrow, I want you to see the doc." Reaper stalked down the hall without acknowledging him. No way in hell was he going to bed now. There were three idiots leering at the bartender, and he wasn't going to allow them to hurt her in any way. She sure as hell wasn't going home with one of them. Not that she'd ever done that. The two waitresses often did, but never Anya. But she closed. That meant she was alone in the bar, and anyone could wait in the dark for her. He found a table to the rear of the bar. It was dark, and the music